إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. He says, O believers, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that we should be conscious of Him, we should be aware of Him, and we should protect ourselves from His punishment and His wrath, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to die except in a state of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin my khutbah by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost to send blessings and prayers upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Amma ba'd. In the time of fitan, in the time when the world is going through certain values that's against the Islamic ones, when, you know, we be in a time where people are constantly, you know, advertising for this idea of individualism, this idea of living for your own self, your own self what matters, your desires what matters, your dreams what matters, nothing else but yourself. We live in a world when the idea of a family is being overlooked. When we think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's approach since he came to da'wah, since he started, you know, preaching to people, in his mind was the idea of a family, is establishing this sense of family, is strengthening this idea of family. The whole concept of Islam was built on this idea of jama'ah. And that's why in the prophetic traditions, you will find that the Prophet ﷺ constantly talking about this idea of jama'ah. Many ahadith that talk about this idea of being together as a family, of being together as a community, of being together as an ummah. Even the Prophet ﷺ, in one of the most beautiful hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said that a wolf would not attack a sheep that's walking off its flock. So if a group of sheep are walking together, a wolf will be so scared to go and attack that group. But if a sheep gets out of this group, then a wolf is easier for the wolf to attack it. This analogy that the Prophet ﷺ has given is to just highlight the importance of being united as an ummah and being united as a community and then being united as a family. SubhanAllah, you know, the idea of a family, the idea of raising children in the US or in the West in general, is something that we constantly should think about as a community. What are the things that we need to consider when it comes to raising our children here? At the end of the day, the end result, what's the end result? What's the purpose? These are questions that we constantly should ask ourselves. What is the purpose when raising our children? I want to ask you this question and ask myself. SubhanAllah, in premarital sessions that I give sometimes, I always ask those who are considering marriage, I ask them, do you want to have children? And if the answer is yes, then I ask a follow-up question. Why? Why do you want to have children? What is the purpose? What is the reason?
You know, in psychology, they start speaking about, you know, the parenting and whatnot. Once the baby is delivered, then they start talking about the stages where the baby is going to be developed. And then, you know, from 0 to 5, and then from 5 to, you know, 12, and then, you know, pre-puberty and then post-puberty. The Islamic approach is a little bit interesting, because it's a lot interesting, actually, because it talks about this idea of parenting before even considering having a child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, إِذْ قَالَتُ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا. امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَان, the mother, or the wife of Imran, the mother of Maryam alayha salam, she was concerned before giving birth. Before giving birth, she was concerned about what? About the child that is going to come to the world, the purpose of this child. And she said to Allah, Ya Allah, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا. Ya Allah, I dedicate my child and my womb to you, Ya Allah. I want that child to be righteous. I want this child to be somebody who leaves a mark in this world. I want this child to say لا إله إلا الله in this world. She was concerned about this before giving birth. This is a mentality of a Muslim. We as Muslims should ask ourselves, when building a family, what exactly we want these children to look like? What is the purpose of having these children? Because if we are lacking that purpose, then by default, our children will actually lack that purpose as well. Working with youth for the past, I would say, 15 years, you know, in different countries, either in Europe or here in the US, in New Jersey or here in Dallas, and dealing with parents all times, it taught me something. I would, to summarize all of this experience, I would say, number one, first and foremost, is lack of purpose is the top of the challenges that I've seen with family. Lack of purpose. Everything evolves around this idea of purpose. The parents, if the parents don't have that purpose clear, then by default, the children will struggle to actually find that purpose as well. I see it. Two big things that this idea of purpose comes to place. Number one, first and foremost, when we talk about this purpose, and before I give this, finding purpose in life is something that not only the Muslims are looking for. Even the non-Muslims, in the past 12 years, over 100,000 books were sold from Amazon that actually talk about purpose. People want to know their purpose of life. People want to live meaningful life. I want to know, why am I here on this earth? I don't want to live like some, like, you know, like an animal. Ibn al-Qayyim radiallahu anhu said something very profound about this idea of purpose. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the angels with purpose and no desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the animals with desires but no purpose. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human beings with purpose and desires. So if the human beings are striving to find that purpose, then they're getting closer to the angels. And if the human beings are fully drowned by their own desires, just following their own desires, then they're getting closer to the animals. And then Imam al-Qayyim said, it might be the human beings higher in status than the angels. Why? Because Allah has given us the choice, and that choice is a test. The angels, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. They only obey Allah. They cannot go against Allah's obedience. But the human beings, Allah has given us that choice, that test. And so if we were to strive to find that purpose, we might be higher in status than the angels. And then he said, the human beings can actually be worse than the animals. Why? Because the animals don't have that choice. Allah has created them this way. They're just, you know, they drink and eat and mate. This is what the animals do. And so if the human being voluntarily decides to follow their, you know, desires blindly, then that's a choice. You decide to follow your own desires. And so going back to this idea of purpose, you know, when raising our children, we have to emphasize this idea of the ultimate goal as a child. I have in mind that when I'm raising my child, I want that child to be first and foremost the son, my son. I want him to be a successful father and husband, and I want to preserve his deen. And for my daughter, I want my daughter, that's the ultimate goal, the ultimate goal. I want my daughter to be a successful wife / mother, and I want her to preserve her deen. That's the summary. I want them to be successful in building their future homes, and that, by the way, will require a lot of work. We're not there yet. We didn't talk about what actually can get us there. That requires a series of lectures. But we're just breaking it down today in this khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, just to understand the ultimate goals. So we have it in mind. If we are lacking the ultimate destination, then we will never be able to reach it. I want to go to Florida. Florida is my destination. And therefore, I will plan accordingly to actually reach that destination. But if that destination is not very clear to me, then I will get lost. And wallahi, many parents over there, they're actually trying to find that, you know, destination. But again, if the destination is not clear, then we will end up actually trying, and sometimes you're putting an effort in the wrong track, in the wrong direction. Bottom line is, as Muslimin, we want to raise our children to preserve a successful family while they're preserving their faith. Two things. If we're able to actually evolve all of our efforts around these two concepts, then wallahi, we're actually striving towards achieving what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see from us. How to do so? This is a big subject. These are series of lectures. But that's the destination. That's the goal. Preserving one's faith, yes. Especially here in the West, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. When does that start? It starts at very young age. At very young age. When sometimes, you know, parents come to me and with problems with their teenagers, sometimes I look at them and say, you know what? It's too late now. We can definitely try. We'll definitely have to try. But it's too late. And they look at me and it's like, what do you mean by it's too late? I tell them, at least at the age of 4, you start this journey of getting their hearts connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that age of 4. And how so? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done it before with the Sahaba. One of the Sahaba said, "Kana an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam yu'allimuna al-iman thumma al-Qur'an. Falamma ta'allamna al-Qur'an izdadna imana." He said the Prophet was so concerned when I was young. Sahabi was talking about his own journey with the Prophet. So look, when I was young, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to focus so much on this idea of nailing and cementing this faith within our hearts at a very young age. Even before teaching us the Quran, he used to teach us who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Who are the prophets before him? And how their journey looked like. All of that connects our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a journey. In psychology, they say the thing that you do frequently in your daily basis will have an impact on you on the long term, no matter what. You exercise every day, you're into basketball, and you're working out every day, it means that eventually you will be in shape and you will master that sport. It's a fact. Imagine every day I remind my children at the first thing in the morning, I take my children and I teach them dua al-istiqadh min al-nawm. Like the dua that we should recite when we wake up in the morning. Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Ya Allah, we thank you that you have given us life after death, and we know that eventually we'll be resurrected to you, Ya Allah. That's a dua that we all should say in the morning. But just imagine your child at the age of 3 or 4, all of his life, every single day, he reminds by himself by who? By his Lord, by Allah. And he's thanking Allah for giving him life on a daily basis. And then he's saying, Ya Allah, I know that I will be resurrected to you. And then he starts the morning adhkar. And I make sure that I actually sit down with my children and recite those adhkar in a daily basis. All of the adhkar, the morning adhkar, the morning du'as, evolve around what? Around Allah, his beautiful names, his beautiful attributes, and reminding ourselves that eventually we will go to him. Imagine in a daily basis, at the age of 3 or 4, I'm actually reminding my child and reminding myself by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually, that has to have an impact on him growing up. You might say, like, brother, but you're kind of making it so simple. Right now, there is massive, aggressive, atheism that's attacking our youth. I understand and acknowledge this. And I'm telling you that it starts here. It starts here. At very young age, at the age of 3, yes, at the age of 3. And then teaching them the lives of the Sahaba, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call it ash-shama'il an-nabawiyyah, the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then teaching them the prophets before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then teaching them asma'illah al-husna, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That eventually will get their hearts attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when they hit teenagers, when they actually 15, 16, 17, 18, now we actually can enhance our conversation a little higher and talk about, theological, aspects of our religion and what are the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can talk about this, but build the foundation first. If you have a child at this age, I urge you to consider this. Since today, do not skip one day. Every single day, when they wake up, the morning dua. And before they sleep, dua and nawm. Story time, we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way the Prophet carried himself. The rahmah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hikmah, the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some incidents that happened and took place at his lifetime, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with it. In a daily basis, a routine. Wallahi, that is the best investment. That is the best investment that you can do to your child at very young age. Growing up, many other issues will appear. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for me to meet you again, I want to talk about each stage, and what are the requirements of each stage. If I have a child at the age of 10, what are the major things that I need to focus on when raising him? If I have a child in 16, 17, what are the major things that I should focus on? Every stage has its own techniques. You cannot deal with your child at the age of 4 the same way you do with your child at the age of 15 and 16. Every stage, our children, their brain work differently at each stage. And therefore, this is a subject that I'm bringing to you today. I'm just opening a conversation, I guess. Because there is absolutely no way that in 25 minutes, we can actually cover this huge subject. But I'm just opening this conversation, opening this discussion. What are our ultimate goals? And then each stage of my child, it needs certain elements that I need to focus on so I can actually raise somebody who is successful, who is building a family, and who is preserving his faith, is preserving La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. سبحان الله, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم started his da'wah in Mecca, he did not overwhelm the Sahaba with rulings, with the rulings of Siyam, with the rulings of, you know, Salah, with the rulings of Hajj. He did not focus on all of that. He was only focusing on one element. One element. And by the way, do you want to differentiate between the Makkiyan surahs and the Madaniyan surahs in the Quran? There is actually a very simple way to actually get to see that difference. The Makkiyan surahs, all of the surahs were revealed in Mecca, are focusing on this idea of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, this idea of faith. You will find Allah always speaking about, you know, His creation. The creation of mankind, the creation of the universe, His beautiful names, the way He described Himself, all of that is to do what? Is to make the Sahaba attached to that the ultimate goal, which is faith. And then eventually when they get this, then along the road, they can build on that. That's the foundation. In Medina, Allah has revealed all of the ahkam, all of the rulings. But after what? After building the foundation first and foremost. You will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Makkiyan surahs. By the way, I would consider teaching my children first the Makkiyan surahs. All the surahs that talk about Allah and talk about His creation. Make your child love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at young age through the Makkiyan surahs. And the Madaniyan surahs, of course. But just the Makkiyan surahs is like, it's overwhelming information about who Allah is. Beautiful. Beautiful. And Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim, in Medina, eventually, they just grew drastically. Why? Because they were khalas, they were built in. This concept of faith was built in already. And so in Medina, it was now the time where we go and they went for fights and battles, and then they came back to Mecca, they conquered Mecca, they opened Mecca. That, you know, character of a Sahabi who was able to go back to his own town and open Mecca was not, you know, built overnight. That's on the course of 13 years of Mecca, cementing this idea of faith. So yes, it takes time. It's a long journey. It's a long investment. But wallahi, it's worth it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our children steadfast on their deen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen our children's faith, ya akram al-akrameen. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna al-qawm al-kafirin. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizukna attiba'a wa arina al-batila batilan wa rizukna ishtinaba. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun wa ja'alna al-muttaqina imama wa aqim salah.